Hello and welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. Today, I am joined by Emily and Matt. We're going to be talking all about Thailand. But first, as always, how are we doing today?
Great. Can't wait to talk about my first ever Points and Miles trip.
ditto. Same here.
Wait, hold up. I'm feeling a little left out of here.
Oh, wow. Man. You even commented on the article on Facebook, and that's how we met, actually.
Yeah, this is a whirlwind.
Actually, this might be this article and this destination might be like the single point that connects all three of us.
Initially. Oh, 100. Yeah. This is our 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Origin story.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So make sure to get into that.
But to answer your question, I'm doing great. We had our last weekend of meetups this past weekend, like a couple days ago. So not sure when this airs, but gives you some more glimpse into the turnaround time of these sometimes. But those are always super fun to get out and meet people, meet our internet friends in the real world, and talk points and miles.
Who hit the slide in Atlanta?
Wasn't me.
Yep. There's video evidence of it on Instagram.
Playing right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
If you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, almost fell there at the end. It's a little slick.
They give you like you stuck the landing. It was like a perfect 10.
Well, there was a moment of panic I could see on your face.
You know, you expected to kind of come to like a nice stop at the ending point, but I clearly realized like, hey, this is going to send me off the end and my feet are in this little like pocket. So I'm going to go face first. Then this video might get more views.
I'm envisioning this in just super, super slow-mo right now. And I'm laughing at it because it's going to be great. So editor, you're welcome.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun. Thank you to everyone who kind of came out. We did 3 cities and 3 days. I wish our podcast turnaround time and our meetup time were a little bit more similar because that was aggressive. And next time I'm gonna need to get a doctor's note, but I had a lot of fun, met a lot of people, heard a lot of great stories. I don't know about y'all, but I always come back from those with like 5 more trips I have to book right away. Cause I just hear so many cool stories with specifics and pictures and just so many off the beaten path recommendations that I'm like, oh yeah, I need to do all of that and more.
That's how I ended up in Belize. Someone I talked to at, I think it was a San Antonio meetup. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, they're listening right now.
There are a few people that are ending up at the Andaz Papagayo because of your recommendation, Emily. So I got some of
never
those.
Never been. I hope it's
past
great.
This weekend. Yeah.
Love that. So, yeah. Yep. It looks nice. One day I'll make it there.
Well, it looks nice is perhaps the reason why Thailand is so sought out by so many of our readers. And that is the focus of today's episode. We're going to dive into what might be one of our most requested destinations, Thailand. My first big points and miles trip. Emily, was that your first big points and miles trip, Thailand?
Yeah. That was like, I think, first points and miles trip, period. Not even a big one, but.
Yeah. And it certainly is a big one. And Matt, yet to go yet. But as always, after the episode, might be running some award searches himself.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. So if you've been dreaming of the golden temples, the island sunsets, the spicy street food, the beautiful beach photos that you've seen all over the internet, and you want to do points and miles, this episode is for you. So we got to get back to the story of how we're all connected through it. But first, I want to start with a fun icebreaker. And that is, what is your favorite Thailand reference in a movie or TV show? And I have multiple choice here. One of them is other, so you can think of what you want. But first one that came to mind for me, Jack Talks Thai from Meet the Parents. Fun. Basically anything from White Lotus season 3, said by Parker Posey. You know, we flew over the North Pole to get here. Yeah. You have The Hangover Part 2, again, like entire movie set in Thailand, or other, if you want to fill in your own. I think I'm going to go with White Lotus season 3, because that Parker Posey character is just so quotable, except I'm not going to attempt it here because to put that on video would be probably devastating for like my future internet presence. But I will say that Thailand was already popular when I started doing this like 10 years ago. And the White Lotus season 3 just kicked that into hyperdrive because of how cool Thailand looked in that show.
Yeah. I got to say this question seems like it's right up your alley. I can't think of a single other Thailand movie reference off the top of my head.
Yep.
So A, B, or C is fine with me.
I'm gonna assert myself as the eldest of this trio today.
And okay. Really
go on a complete tangent / curveball. I got 2 options. One, I'll go newest to oldest. The James Bond movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. Come on, everybody knows James Bond Island.
Oh, I didn't
Island.
Know that was in Thailand.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, for sure. Mm. Yeah. Mr. Scaramanga, you know, one of the the great Bond villains for sure. So
okay,
and the introduction of the Golden Gun. I think it may have shown up in previous movies, but that's where it at least got famous from. For any James Bond fans, and going deep in the archive, The Bridge Over River Kwai. Any of you seen this movie?
No.
Yeah, deep in the archives. Great movie about like World War II British POW camp where they essentially build a bridge in the middle of the Thai jungle. So if you're into old cinema, that's a good one to get into. So
like I said, go to the library to rent a VHS.
You might have to watch it on VHS. Yes, that's probably a VHS one. Please be kind and rewind.
On the side of my MacBook, yeah, the VHS port. Which one is that?
Yeah, exactly.
So Thailand, of course, well covered in pop culture, well photographed. It's what led me initially there. Let's briefly tell a story that kind of, I guess, connects all three of us. My first big Points and Miles trip was to Thailand, and I wrote this very extensive article. You can still find it on Text Travel. We'll link it in the show notes. That detailed like every cost that I would have paid, every step of how I booked it, including screenshots that are clearly taken on a screen from 2015, because these things are, it looks like you got a fax like from someone's fax machine that still has a lot of dust on it. But very well read article, kind of explains the entire concept of points and miles in the form of a specific trip. And of course has like the photos of Thailand, you know, hanging out with elephants on the beach, like sailing out in the water. That really make this such an appealing destination for many of our readers. But I put that out. This was one of our most read articles ever, definitely at the time, maybe even still. And I believe that Emily found that article on Facebook and took her own trip. So tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I first have to say that I think it's such a statement about the way marketing has gone in the past few years, because I don't think if you put out an article that was that long as a Facebook ad these days, I think everyone's attention span is just gone. But
for sure,
at the time, it was like, I don't know, 2017, maybe.
It was 2015. I just looked.
Well,
10
when you published
ago.
When you published the article.
June of 2015.
You must have like run it as an ad campaign in 2017
or something like four or five years. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's that, yeah, that's the ad that I saw. And the ad just said, like, here's how I took a $20,000 trip to Thailand for $200 out of pocket. And down the rabbit hole I fell. And I just was like, if I can replicate every single move in this article, which I think by the time I was reading it, some of the stuff was even not an option anymore. And I was like, I'm going to replicate it as best as I can. I got every single card that would get me to stay at the same hotels that you stayed at. I tried to fly like similar airlines, but economy, because I don't know, that's where I was.
Economy one way.
Yeah. And that's just what got me addicted. I mean, it took me almost like 2 years from reading that article to actually like execute the trip, because I had to, you know, learn how everything worked and get all the cards and earn all the points. But yeah, that certainly sucked me in.
Real question is, what's more dated, like the hotel and card references in the article or Matt's movies about Thailand?
Hey, you better watch out. There's going to be some serious comments guaranteed on those. You may not appreciate quality cinema, but those are definitely going to be in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll find your people.
Yes.
Yes. And it found our people here. And Matt, I believe you encountered the article, didn't take the trip itself, but that was one of the early entry points for you into Points and Miles as well. Is that right?
At least into, yeah, exactly. The group and just this kind of new philosophy at the time on how to do it, for sure. So good job on the algo.
Yeah.
I think I still have a screenshot of you left a comment or made a post and kind of shared it. And it says like, I really need to look into doing stuff like this.
Yep.
And now here you are.
I did. Good job, me. 10 years, 12 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So reminiscing aside, let's talk about how to do it now. We're going to go through best airline programs to redeem to go to Thailand. There's a number of options. We're going to talk about hotel programs to look at, specific hotel properties to visit, what to know about traveling to Thailand, like the different regions, weather, popular times to go. Highlight a listener spotlight at the end of a reader who recently did a trip themselves on Points and Miles. And any other of the usual fun side banter that comes up along the way. So let's start out with the flights. Now, first big thing to know, as of publishing right now, and I'm safe to say this is probably going to be for a while, there are no direct flights between the United States and Thailand. So no matter what you do or how many points you have, you're going to have to go somewhere else on the way, unless you are on NetJets, in which case, why are you listening to this right now?
Because he's Googling in the background to confirm that that's true.
No, no, I
wait, if I'm flying NetJets or...
There we go, yeah. yeah. So no direct way to get there, but dozens and dozens of ways to get there alternatively. And I think that a key thing that came up for me as I'm kind of going through the prep for this and thinking through, you know, the reader scenarios I've seen is that there are many ways to do this. And really, I think the best way to probably approach it is just getting into Eastern Asia, like whatever zone that might be called on the award chart you're looking at. There are many different options to cross the ocean, use points and miles. You might have to do the last hop to Thailand using a cash flight, but probably not because there's so many flights that go there. Bangkok is one of the biggest and most active airports in the world. So there are so many ways to do this that I would dare say like Thailand is quite doable overall. Like this isn't like your unicorn destination where it's like, look for this magical combination of things and you might be able to go. Like if you want to go to Thailand, you're going to find a way to get there.
The real question is, are you going east or west?
Yes.
Because you can go to both.
You can. And I guess depending on where you are in the United States, that would maybe change the scales a little bit. But in my case, like starting in Ohio, I think I went east, but both ways. So like around the world. So flew
full
through.
Circle.
Yeah. Like it was somewhere in Europe. I want to say it was like Denmark or something. It was like some random airport and then came home through Chicago. So that honestly was part of the appeal for me. My wife did not agree, but I was like, cool, we get to fly around the world. And that was also the first time that we split up in business and economy where each of us took turns one way. And then looked at it, the other one when we landed and we're like, oh, that's why business class is better.
Yeah.
So the first one to look into, similar to our past episode on best ways to get to Asia, would be ANA Mileage Club. You can find round trip business class from the US to Asia Zone 2, which includes Thailand, for as low as 100,000 to 115,000 miles round trip. Now, it depends on seasonality and who you're flying. But if you're looking at ANA operated flights, round trip in economy could be anywhere from 55 to 70,000 miles. Premium econ bumps up to 84 to 99,000 miles. Business, 125 to 135,000 miles. And first, 195 to 245,000 miles. Partner flights are going to be just slightly more expensive for each tier, but not dramatically so. And many different partner options are going to take you there in many different routing configurations. If you can get on one of the flights to Tokyo, it's probably your best way to cross the ocean. But we talked about how sought after those are in a previous episode. A little harder to find. But when you open the kind of scope a bit to be Thailand or really east side of Asia to pop over to Thailand with one last flight, a lot more options are going to pop up. And you shouldn't have ridiculous taxes and fees when booking through there. And ANA, of course, is a transfer partner of multiple major bank transferable programs. So if you're listening to this and you've been around 10X Travel or Points and Miles for, you know, a little bit, you probably already have this amount of miles sitting in your accounts somewhere right now. If you don't, we can help. Like, come on, reach out, sign up for MyTenX. But very doable from that standpoint. ANA would be the first place that I would look. Second spot, Air Canada. This is a kind of a recent favorite of mine that keeps on coming up. They have flexible routing options and you do have stopovers here. You can add Tokyo or Seoul for just 5,000 miles more. No fuel charges. There's some kind of nuance to know around like how far the flight is and like where you're originating from in North America for the pricing. But the basics are that if you're flying Air Canada and select partners, economy flights are going to start around 50,000 miles to 60,000 miles on partners. Premium Econ bumps it up to 70,000 miles, no partners there. Business class on Air Canada and select partners starts at 85,000 miles. First class, 130,000 miles. I actually flew on Air Canada on my trip. I think I actually booked it through United, but flew on Air Canada through Toronto. So that's the one I have experience with. But again, I'm always reminded that this was a decade ago. I think I used Star Points to book my hotel.
So did I.
But did you, prices weren't that different.
You flew out of Toronto?
Yeah, Columbus to Toronto to Copenhagen to Bangkok.
Did you like drive to reposition to Toronto? Can't be that.
I didn't, but I almost could have, but I can't have the chance
to fly from bus. Columbus International Airport, Emily.
Oh, right.
Toronto is Wyatt International, right? There's we flew in this tiny little prop plane, and I remember my wife was a little concerned because the back row was a bench.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Like, what? Yeah, that was fun. A little bit of turbulence there, but it was like a 35-minute flight. Super easy to do. But yeah, Toronto would be, an airport that if you're booking here through Air Canada, you're going to see a lot of it go through there. That is their home hub, of course. But another great option that is a transfer partner from multiple major bank currencies. There's lots of transfer bonuses that we've seen recently to Air Canada. So that is the second one, maybe 1B that I would search after ANA. And availability does tend to be pretty good.
Another interesting option is booking through Alaska Airlines Atmost Rewards Program, which just got a nice rebrand and is definitely top of mind for a lot of people with the loophole that we had earlier this year, transferring between Hawaii and Alaska. So you might happen to have a lot of these points sitting in your Alaska account. So what you're going to be looking for here is some partner award availability. In business class, they have great pricing on Japan Airlines, Cathay Pacific, Starlux is another one, and Korean Air as well. So there's lots of options there. And when you're looking at the award chart, you're going to want to make sure you're looking at the Asia Pacific award chart. It's distance-based, so it's between 7,000 and 10,000 miles, and that'll, you know, link you to the right pricing. Economy is around 42,500 points each way. Premium economy is going to start around 55,000 points. Business class starts at 85,000 points, and then first is 130,000 points. There are some extra surcharges, just your usual taxes and fees that will depend on which airline you're flying, but you can expect them to be around $100 to $300 one way, depending on your routing and your cabin. So that's a great option for a lot of different partner airlines there. We've also got Emirates is another good option, a little bit out of the way because you're going to most likely be flying through Dubai. But sometimes people are willing to go out of their way for a super premium cabin. So
super premium surcharge.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. The surcharges have gotten crazy over the past couple of years. They also have recently gone a little more dynamic with their pricing. So it's definitely devalued this program quite a bit over the past even just months, I would say. And we're now at the point too where like you have to have status for in order to book yourself into first class. And you can get that through some of the co-branded cards, but usually not a priority for most people. I don't know about you guys, but probably not for me.
Not high on my list.
No.
You know, I feel like Emirates is going down the Korean Air path where it's like, we used to talk about that all the time. And now I haven't heard that as like a viable option in months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you have taxes and fees that are like $1,000 each way just for a premium cabin, it makes it really, it's a hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm.
Plus, they got dropped as a transfer partner from one of the banks, plus another one adjusted the ratio. It's like, it's all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, nonetheless, you can still book it. Some of the pricing that we have here for economy, you're looking at 85,000 points one way if you can find saver availability. Otherwise, 145,000 points for economy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts. Yep. Only goes up from there. Premium economy is 190,000 points. Business is 210,000 if you find saver. I'm scared to even say these next prices out loud. Please don't book these. 335,000 points if you can't find saver availability for business, and first class is 395,000 points. So Emirates probably would be my last ranked one on this. But hey, if you want to shell out a bunch of cash for taxes and fees and spend all your points that you spent, I don't know, 2+ years earning, yeah, go for it.
It's a great product though.
Yeah, great product. I still haven't showered in, mm-hmm. in the
That's gonna be
first
a
class.
So. Much more expensive shower nowadays.
I know.
Yeah.
Now it's fully off the list.
I was responsible and saved money. I knew it was happening. Yeah. So I went ahead and made the budget decision to save some money. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. I'm forever going to be the one that missed out on that because this is not for me. The last one we've got here is Flying Blue, which definitely not going to be the most direct route, but you have the opportunity to kind of like split it up and do a Europe stop on the way, which could be cool. Do a little day or two layover. There's tons of transfer bonuses and monthly promo awards that Flying Blue does, so it can make it super cost effective from a points perspective and from a tax and fees perspective. Some of the rates I found were for 40,000 one way in economy, plus around $200 in fees, or 65,000 points for premium economy one way, plus around $320-ish dollars in fees. And if you're looking at some of the current transfer bonuses, at least at the time of recording, we've got one from one of the major banks that would make them like 34,000 points for economy, 55 for premium economy. It's going to be hard to compete with the ANA round trip rates, but that's pretty solid for I don't know, 18 to 25 hours of travel.
Especially when compared to Emirates.
Yeah. So Flying Blue, I would definitely check out. There's usually a lot more availability. And like I said about the transfer bonuses, we're seeing like one a month and it's like 20 to 30%. So
yeah,
keep an eye out.
It's awesome. And that does also bring up another thought for me. I feel like when readers are planning travel to Asia, this is where that question of like, is it worth it to spend more miles for premium cabin comes up much more frequently, because it is considerably farther than Europe, and to a point in which it's like, oh, this now becomes even more clear. And for a lot of folks, this ends up being like their first premium cabin redemption. So I will say, if you're listening out there and you're like kind of on the fence and in that typical scenario of like, I don't understand why people pay more, once you fly to Asia once, you'll understand. It's quite far and very much worth it to be able to lie flat and optimize for itinerary, because that's
also
quite a trip.
Just logistics wise from the US, you're lucky if you can one stop to Thailand. Most travelers are going to be a two-stop itinerary. So you add in layovers, presumably a couple hours each. I mean, that's good. It's going to be a long, long travel route. So flying up front, at least premium economy, spend the extra miles if you can find the space.
I did 30 hours in economy.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember your routing?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I know on the way there, I think we flew through Beijing, and we definitely had a layover. And
did you fly like Air China or something? Do you remember what airlines you flew?
Asiana. Maybe?
Okay, so through probably Seoul or Seoul, as someone says.
Wait,
I had both
fighting through laughter.
Do I say Seoul?
Well, you did earlier, and
Matt was twitching.
Yeah, I was like, don't do it. Oh, I was dragging it.
Seoul. Did I have it right? Seoul?
Seoul now, but Seoul earlier. You were in
Matt,
the zone.
Why do you have to crush my soul like that? I'm working on it, you know? Yeah. This was a tough episode for pronunciations. So that won't be my last mistake.
You're doing good so far. I had to get it in there since she said it. I was like, all right, we're good.
It's hard not to read it phonetically, like when you're reading and talking and it's like, yes.
I am looking up my first ever points and miles spreadsheet that I had my Thailand itinerary on to try and see.
It's not that important. I was just curious if you remembered.
No, but it is important to me now. I don't know if I remember.
your computer's probably, I can't open files this old. Yeah. This is like, it doesn't run on our software anymore.
Yeah.
Insert the floppy disk.
Yeah.
The one that has all your movies on it.
Yes, bingo.
I didn't write all my layovers down. I just wrote from LaGuardia to Chiang Mai. So that's super helpful. But because we were going to Chiang Mai, we went through Bangkok too. So I probably had at least two, if not three layovers on the way there.
30 hours.
And same on the way back, because we were in Koh Samui and then flew back to Bangkok through Taipei and then, you know.
Yeah, but when you're in your early 20s, like 30 hours in economy is no big deal. Yeah, you were fine.
Definitely didn't feel horrible. Yeah,
exactly.
So typical, I guess, ranges you can look at for booking all these flights to Thailand for economy redemptions, sounds like about 40 to 60,000 points one way. Business class, you're looking 70,000 to 100,000 points one way. First class, you're going to be probably 120,000-ish or more one way. But again, as we mentioned, worth it unless you're in your early 20s, in which case... God bless you. But for the rest of us, we're looking for those premium cabin tickets. And award availability, as I mentioned earlier, it's not impossible for flying to Thailand. And you have many transfer partners to look at. We walk through some of those. And of course, tools like PointMe and Expert Flyer can help you find some of that elusive award space. Or of course, our own award booking service is worth looking into anytime you're contemplating 30 hours in economy, as we just heard. They will hopefully save you from that. So I want to ask y'all, what is the best time of the year to find premium cabin availability Thailand, and how far in advance should you book? And I'll start with my own kind of take on this, and that is that Thailand is a unique destination in that its prime season tends to be counter to like prime travel season in America. The best weather months tend to be like late fall through winter, like November through probably February. It's going to be driest throughout Thailand. And of course, Thailand really can't be looked at as like a singular unit from a weather standpoint. It has lots of different microregions, sometimes as like picky as like the east side of this tiny, like thin little peninsula is rainy when the west side is not, and then it flips. But kind of painting with broad strokes here, most people want to travel to Thailand when Americans are not typically in their travel season. So that is a perk. But you know, based on your experiences or what you've seen with readers, do you have any tips on kind of booking windows there?
I went in February, which I think is like probably considered shoulder season there. It was great. The weather was fantastic. Wasn't super crowded. So I love the idea of doing shoulder. Wow. I'm never going to be able to say that. Shoulder season.
It's pronounced like of where soul, but shoulder.
Thank you for breaking it down. I'm trying to think back on how I booked it. And I think I just, as soon as I had enough points, I was like ready to go. So it wasn't really I better start looking for this in advance because this was my first time doing it. So as soon as I had the points balance, I think I was maybe 6 months out, but also I was booking economy and it was 2018. So I don't, different time.
Yeah, I think I went in June or like May, which is not a time that most recommend. Yeah. It was fine. It was quite hot. You know, I think that's going to probably generally be true for a lot of times that you visit Thailand. But it wasn't like overbearingly hot, and we did not encounter many issues with like rain or anything like that. So that it worked out. But that's like before, if you're in your early 20s, you kind of like, oh, this is fine. I don't even really notice. And now that might be different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in terms of like when to book, I think Thailand, from my experience, tends to be open enough that you don't have to kind of do the whole like it drops at this time, like you have to do it now or you're not going to get a chance to. Of course, that's better. Like way in advance is better. Last second's going to have, you know, some of the last minute award space that we tend to see in situations like this. But I think you can be a little bit more relaxed as to like those booking windows, especially with the many ways to fly there and routing options also. So
yeah,
that helps.
Yeah, I think the fact that there's no direct flights kind of eases that burden because it makes it way less competitive because not everybody is competing for like the same inventory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other beautiful things about traveling to Thailand with points and miles is that there are a ton of amazing hotel options, Bangkok in particular, but throughout the entire country in all of the brands that we've come to know and love here in the points and miles space. So I'm going to let Matt tell us a little bit more about those. And Emily and I can kind of weigh in on our own experiences here, assuming the hotels are still there.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see here where you guys stayed. I know it was a while ago, but if you had any memorable stays from version one of your spreadsheet, Emily.
Oh, yeah. Well, I stayed at the exact same hotels that Bryce stayed at, so.
Oh, of course.
You want to say one, I'll say the other?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I did do both. Yeah, I did do both. We stayed at the Le Meridian Chiang Mai, which now is not a Le Meridian. It's just a Marriott. But the location was fantastic. I don't know if the property has changed significantly with like the brand changing.
When we were
there. Yeah. It was pretty new at the time. But I thought it was super walkable to everything that I wanted to go see as far as landmarks went. And there was a nice pool. And I sent a email to the hotel manager before I arrived and asked for an upgrade, and I got one, and I was like so excited. Michael was like, "Who are you? Why have you been upgraded?"
That was a great property. There's a night market like literally right outside.
Yeah,
it's in the smack middle of town. It was the tallest building in town by like a factor of two, so you could find it from wherever you were.
Yep.
Walkable temples, walkable to all sorts of other stuff to do. Great rooftop pool, like an infinity pool. And like, as I'm remembering this, the only thing that sticks out to me is the fact that I spent the entire first day doing the currency conversion wrong by one decimal point. So I was like getting drinks at the pool with Alexandra and telling her how these drinks are only like $1.50. And then she did the math and she's like, that's
$15.
I was like, oh, fun. Yeah, that was a good time. Man. But they were good.
Yeah.
You had to walk outside and then they were $1.50. Inside the hotel.
I mean, but seriously though, yeah, like you walk outside and like, yeah, street food market's $2 for an amazing meal, but
I remember sitting at that pool and like ordering drinks as well, and I remember being so like focused on the fact that I needed to make sure I used a card that had a points eraser so that I could erase the drink charges from my statement, and that I just don't think I would think that hard about it anymore.
Yeah.
But at the time, I remember like not even enjoying the pool because I was so focused on like, I better use the right card for this apparently $15 drink.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep. And then yeah, in the South, I think it was the Renaissance at the time, also a Marriott property. I absolutely love that place. We got an upgrade there and I still don't know why. I did not email them ahead of time, but they put us up in like this ridiculous penthouse.
Yeah.
It was like two wings, three different bedrooms, just incredible view. It was a little bit further from the pool, but did not mind that one bit. The pools themselves were great. There were multiple pools to choose from. There's a breakfast buffet that's like kind of overlooking this beautiful, like lush jungle area. That was fantastic. Everything was relatively expensive. It was a little bit kind of isolated. Like if you wanted to basically go anywhere, you had to get a shuttle or some sort of transportation to come get you because it was kind of down a dirt road.
Did you get a Vespa?
Great. I did not get a Vespa. I remember talking about that.
Wow.
And I think my wife was not thrilled about the idea. But now I wish I would have. But on the flip side, I'm not in early 20s anymore, so I'm not going to do that now. Yeah.
We did the Vespa. It was very fun. We did that in Chiang Mai too, in like the more mountainous regions, but yeah, getting a Vespa and driving around the streets of a country you're not familiar with is a little terrifying.
Like I said, not going to do that again. I'm good.
Yeah.
But most of the activities that we looked at when we were on Koh Samui, like offered pickup at your hotel. Like, I think because that's pretty common with the hotels there. But I did take a look at prices at that hotel again, and they're not outrageous. They're actually comparable to what they were in 2015. And that's saying something for Marriott. Like that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, all the properties that I was looking at in advance of this, just to have some notes, I was like, wow, it's still very reasonably priced. And it's for like some of the more luxurious hotel brands. So I don't know, Matt, walk us through a couple options.
Do it.
Yeah.
Guys, I just achieved the unattainable.
What?
I outsourced most of my section back to you all. It was fantastic.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, well, we fell for it.
Yep, sure did. Just copy our trip. Why do you need to look at alternative options? Are you saying that we chose poorly?
I have no commentary at all other than you guys should keep going. You're doing great.
Yeah, well, the one problem, Matt, I think Emily and I each redeemed star points for one of these hotels.
R.I.P.
Those have not been around for nearly a decade,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I
mean,
go ahead.
Still possible.
Yeah, I'll add some slight commentary to this, but they've done it great. Job so far. Basically, you have tons of options throughout Thailand. Obviously, like Bryce mentioned earlier, big country, relatively speaking. So pick where you're going. You will find a number of American chain hotels, Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton, and then other ones as well across the country and at all levels of luxury. So if you talk about Hilton, you've got everything from DoubleTrees all the way up to Waldorf's and Conrad's, Marriott, all the way, literally at the bottom of their chart to the top, some of the ones like Bryce and Emily mentioned. Same for Hyatt Regencies, Hyatt Place, all the way up to Park Hyatt. So tons of options and tons of reasonable pricing on stuff. There's not a lot of stuff that I've seen in Thailand at the top of some of these brands' award charts, which is kind of fantastic. So like the Park Hyatt Bangkok, category 6, you know, so there's still 7, 8, and then plus with Hyatt. So you're looking at like 25 to 30-ish thousand points per night at a Park Hyatt. That's pretty good. So tons of options and tons of different destinations in the city in Bangkok, out on some of the beaches, out in some of the jungle areas as well. So honestly, a great destination to go for a variety of experiences at various properties in some of these brands and at a number of different price points, which is honestly like kind of awesome.
That's what you want.
Yeah, literally. The choice is yours, basically.
I do think that's what makes Thailand such a great like starter trip,
sure,
if you will. Points a mile starter trip. I mean, I know that sounds crazy because it's so far away and it sounds complicated, but
most things that we say sound a little crazy and complicated in fairness.
Yeah. But I mean, there's so many options. There's so many flight options. There's so many hotel options. You don't have to have a million points. You can do it on just probably a few card bonuses.
And you don't even have to have $1 million. Generally speaking, Thailand's super cheap once you get out of the hotel pool for $15 and go outside for the $1.50 drinks.
Hey, shots fired.
Yeah.
It feels like looking at Thailand from a points and miles perspective is like looking at the menu at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Factory is expensive.
Every option you could ever want. Yeah, but like if you want pizza or tacos or pasta or sushi, we have an entire page of all of those things at all different price levels. And like that's what makes it so great.
I didn't mention IHG in that list. I said Hyatt, Hilton, and Marriott. And there are a number of IHG options too.
Yeah. Intercontinental.
Yeah. Crown Plaza. A couple Intercontinentals, I believe. So probably actually a Kimpton that I'm aware of. So again, across the IHG array as well. So just further driving home the point of you've got options.
Yeah.
If you have any amount of points in pretty much any program, there's going to be an option for you.
Yeah.
And then to speak quickly to like kind of Thailand as a destination in general, because there's some things to kind of know before traveling there. And I alluded to it earlier and mentioning that Thailand is really, it's hard to view it as like one country because you have different weather patterns, different cultures, but really most folks would kind of break it down into like three main areas. You have like the north side, which is a little bit more mountainous, a little cooler. Chiang Mai is the most popular destination up there and kind of like the jumping point. And that's where you'll find like the elephant encounter stuff. You'll find like jungle type hiking, like the more off-road active type of activities that you see in Thailand. And most people, at least who I see with our readership, who go to Thailand do swing up to the north. You can fly there from Bangkok in like an hour and a half, cheap cash fares, like less than $100, or there's options for buses as well. I was a big fan. Emily, I guess, of course, you went there too. We talked about the hotel, but any highlights come to mind for you for your time spent in the north?
Oh, yeah. That was probably like my favorite part of the trip that we did. After we flew economy for 30 straight hours, I had booked a hike of one of the tallest peaks in that area and camping overnight at the top. And in my head, there was like one day of recovery before we did that. There was not. We got to the Airbnb in the area, like for a little further north. And then, woke up the next day and just had to really hike.
Straight from 30 hours in economy to camping. Is that what I'm hearing?
This is like an Ironman.
Yeah.
I was so exhausted. One of Michael's favorite photos of me is completely passed out at the peak during sunrise or sunset.
We need to see this.
I am deep asleep, like fully snoring, just sitting on the peak of a mountain. But the area that we had our Airbnb and the hosts were amazing. And I'm pretty sure I found the Airbnb from another reader in the group who had done a similar trip. And the only issue was that there were a lot of wild animals and wild dogs that howled the entire night after we got there. So there was virtually no sleep between 30 hours in economy and the start of the hike. So yeah, being in your early 20s is fun.
Yeah.
And then you got a Vespa. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to walk for approximately 7 days after 30 hours in economy and straight into camping. So kudos to you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a highlight. We did a cooking class too.
Ooh, nice.
I'll have to look up exactly who did it. I want to say the chef was named Sammy, but
do you remember what you made?
We made green curry, we made mango sticky rice, we made pad thai, we made spring rolls. And he had this great little, he had a nap built into the cooking class
that saved you.
So you would make your first like entrees and your appetizers, and then you had nap time.
Is this like an all-day cooking class?
Oh yes, I love this.
Yeah,
that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, and there were hammocks set up, fans. Oh, it was so relaxing. So yeah, loved it.
And that's why most people visit the north side of Thailand, because that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Second part, middle, is usually just Bangkok for most people's travel reasons. It's where you're probably going to fly into if you're going into Thailand on about any itinerary. A lot of folks don't even leave the city of Bangkok. Tons to do there. As we talked about, lots and lots of hotels to visit, temples in the city, food, like everything you could ever want, all kind of centers around Bangkok. And then the third area is the south side, which is where you have like the islands, the beaches. This is where you see a lot of those beautiful photos of like the crystal clear water that's like so blue. It's almost unreal. You know, when we were down there, we stayed in Koh Samui. Other popular ones would be Krabi, Phuket, but they're all pretty similar vibe from what I understand. Much more laid back, lots of great hotel options, but a little bit less of that kind of crowded feel that you'd get from, especially from Bangkok. And I guess White Lotus is kind of showed us what the south of Thailand looks like. And it looks amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But when heading to the south, that's where you got to watch out for the kind of the weather patterns and when you go. Because if you do go there during rainy season at the wrong time, you might be spending most of your time in the hotel because or you could just go out and ride a Vespa in the rain. That sounds like fun too, if you're in your early 20s. But easy to get between all three areas. A lot of folks hit all of them while on their trip, and they're all great for different reasons, I suppose.
Yeah.
Any memorable activities in the South on your trip, Emily, other than riding the Vespa?
I would say the South was much more of a relaxation period on the trip. A lot of just eating and laying down.
Proper sleeping accommodations.
Yeah, proper sleeping accommodations. A lot of beach bar action. We did do a boat tour of some of the areas around the islands there. I don't remember exactly the details, but I do remember on the way back getting incredibly seasick. So that's how I remember it. It was very beautiful up until that point, though.
So we want to talk about Drake's Passage in Antarctica because it might be a little more challenging.
We're going to not think about it until we're forced to think about it.
We got over a year. Yeah, we're good. Maybe it'll be calm in that time.
Maybe. Yeah, the Drake Lake. That's what I've heard.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I think we did a boat tour as well. It's just to be able to see everything from the water is a totally different perspective. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's our experience with Thailand. I do want to give a listener spotlight shout out to listener Ross A., who had this to say about his own Thailand redemption. He says, thank you to 10X Travel for putting out such helpful information. We recently got to fly Qatar Q Suites to Bangkok and back from Bali on our honeymoon to Thailand and Indonesia. Wow, what a honeymoon.
Yeah.
We also stayed in some awesome Hyatt Alila properties in Bali and Hyatt Regency in Phuket. This wouldn't have been possible without step-by-step tutorials and content that the team puts out. They did book 355 days in advance on the British Airways calendar, linked to Qatar, a total of 400,000 points for round-trip flights, which it sounds like that's one-way Emirates and premium economy if you want silverware. Ross continues and says, the unsexy part of our redemption was having to drive to Atlanta from Charlotte. The drive home in rush hour traffic after 30 hours of travel was rough, but worth it.
What up, neighbor?
But Emily's it in a car? Come on, you could have done that in a Vespa. Easy.
That does sound amazing, though. The Q Suites is a very nice way to get there, for sure.
Also, shout out to some of the Alilas in Bali. If I'm not mistaken,
they're so cheap.
And some of them haven't changed. There's some that are 5,000 Hyatt points per night.
Mm-hmm.
And Alila, like the same brand of Ventana Big Sur that everybody knows here in the U.S., which is a bajillion points per night. Not saying it's the exact same experience, but similar level of service I would expect. So not to go on a Bali tangent, but when you're in the neighborhood.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, easy tack on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Levon's talked about this. I think he stayed at the one of the Alilas in Bali and for a month.
Yeah,
because it was 5,000 points.
I was going to say, 4,000 to 5,000 points per night. I mean, just get globalist that way and live in style.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm looking at now the Alila Mangus. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Category 2. 645K Hyatt points tonight. Yeah, or $137. So
that's
pretty snazzy.
That is
how many poolside cocktails you have to buy every day to continually earn enough points to stay there forever? I'm just wondering. Because it is there is a number that's not outrageous that would allow that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be a future episode.
Yeah.
And speaking of Levon in Thailand, I think we need to give a shout out to an upcoming 10X Travel trip. Levon is going to take a group of readers to Thailand. And that is happening in May of 2026. As of time recording, there are still a small number of spots that are left. There will be a link to the show notes. If there's not one, they sold out in the interim, but I think there's going to be an okay chance here.
Oh,
so
guaranteed.
If you want to have all that planning kind of done for you, do this with other readers who are into points and miles, that is your opportunity. Check out that link in the show notes. We're going to be doing that and other trips in the future. But now I'm wondering if I should just go sign up for that.
Circling back to the meetups last weekend, literally, we just had the Croatia trip. Within the last couple weeks, and a couple people there on that trip came to the meetups and were just literally ranting and raving. So, shameless plug, we throw good trips. So, if you want to go to Thailand, you should definitely sign up.
We throw good trips. We're going to throw in a t-shirt, too. I want to wear that next meetup.
I mean, why stop at Thailand? I mean, we've got Antarctica coming up, 2027. Yes. Clock is ticking. If you want to knock off a bucket list trip with a bunch of other points and miles
hang
people,
out,
doing the entire ship.
Doing the Drake shake.
Yeah, the entire ship will be other points and miles nerds like us. So, very fun way to cross off a hard to do destination.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that trip myself, minus the Drake part.
Yeah. We'll link it in the show notes too, the form to sign up for that. So if anyone's interested.
Yeah, we might have a better photo of Emily that makes her like, no, like, you know, we heard about the sleeping one that was taken, but during the Drake crossing, I think there might be some options for all of us.
I'm getting video, not photos.
No, leave me alone during the Drake passing. Leave me alone. I'll be in my room.
Just gonna live stream the whole thing. Like, who has to throw up first, like make a competition out of it, you know, lean into the internet today.
Bring in the Starlink just so we've got it.
Oh,
absolutely.
Nope.
Well, that's my cue to start to kind of wrap this up. If you have been to Thailand yourself, which we know there are many of you out there, we would love if you'd share your own Thailand redemptions with us in the 10X Travel Facebook group. If you're not in there, you should join. There's over 400,000 people who some of them joined because they wanted to replicate trips to Thailand or saw a catchy headline on Facebook. Some of them joined just yesterday learning to try to go to Thailand, but most of them do want to try to go. So do tell us how you did it. It might help someone else on their own points and miles journey. If you're looking to book a complex Thailand itinerary and you want some help with that, our Word Booking service can handle it for you. Just let the experts do all the searches for you. As we mentioned, there's a number of partner awards and different charts that have mileage base and things to know. And if this is kind of your first time and you're not looking to fly 30 hours in economy, they can help find you the best option available. It's simple and straightforward, linked in our show notes and found on our website. Otherwise, I think that's all I have on Thailand. Emily, Matt, anything else to add?
I just realized that I'm on my own for dinner tonight, so I'm pretty sure there's some green curry in my future.
Yeah.
Make sure, check to see if it's part of a dining program, of course.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the next time we talk Thailand on the podcast, Matt will have been.
Unlikely. Oh, next time we talk Thailand. Maybe so.
I don't think you're going in like the next 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Matt, you never know.
That is true.
I think we'll probably have another podcast at some point that talks about it, just so I can say, welcome back to Talking Thai with Bryce Talk Thai.
Now you're making me salivate.
Circling right back to where we began.
Now you're making me salivate.
All right. Yeah. Well, let Matt get to his dinner. Matt, Emily, thank you as always. And for all of us here at 10X Travel, this has been Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye now.
Adios.
Bye.